this is the last, I hope, not I hope, but I mean, should be, the last series, the last sermon on Gospel Revisit. So you cannot talk about Gospel without talking about chapter 5. And everybody likes freedom. We all like freedom because freedom gives us freedom to do whatever we think is right or whatever we want. But at the same time, you know that even though we have freedom, it doesn't mean that you can do anything. Just like in Canada, you cannot say that because I have freedom, this country give me a lot of freedom, so I can free to drive 150 in a 50 zone, right? And the police are going to catch you before you hit somebody. And you cannot do anything that the law set within the boundary. I mean, we have freedom, but the freedom is set somehow. And at the same time, I think Christians, a lot of time when we talk about the gospel, what thing will come into your mind when the first thing, you know, when we talk about the gospel? A lot of people will think about Jesus died on the cross, saved us from sins and a penalty, all these things. And actually, we refer to salvation. The gospel, when we talk about the gospel, a lot of time we think of the salvation part. How God saved us. He is a savior. We are in trouble. That's why he saved us. But gospel is more than just salvation. Last week, I think it's the last week or the week before, Raymond, our brother Raymond said that. The gospel is more than just salvation. There's another part of it. And today I'm going to introduce another concept to you. But actually, it's not a new concept. It's just a lot of time we do not talk about this too often because we are afraid this term might mean something, and that term might lead us into another way which might cause us into more trouble. That term is freedom. The gospel, when we talk about the gospel, it's not only just talk about salvation, it also talks about freedom in Christ. Just like you are living in Canada, you have freedom, but within this country, we have laws to govern us. So within this boundary, you have freedom. Just like you come into this building, you have freedom to walk around in this building. This is freedom. But this building gives you a set of boundary. Within this boundary, you have freedom to walk around. And something like that. But a lot of the time when we talk about freedom, we do not want to hear a lot. And even a preacher, your Sunday school teacher, you don't hear much about freedom in Christ when you became a Christian. Because we will think about freedom in Christ doesn't mean that I can, you know, do more things. And because God's already saved us and he's loving. There's a lot of tons of grace. So maybe we can do whatever we want. Or maybe we can just, be a bare minimum Christians because God is still loving. He's gracious. So it's okay. So we don't talk about much freedom. We talk about you should do this, you should do this, you should not do this, you should not, we talk about that a lot, but we don't talk about freedom in Christ because we are afraid that you might go into another direction, which is enjoy your sinful lust, so-called flesh. But I think this is a very important concept because Jesus said that in John, and Paul all the time tells us that there's a freedom in Christ Jesus. In chapter 5, verse 1, it's a very important verse. Freedom is very important because it gives us an opportunity to grow in Christ, to be more responsible in Christ, to understand what holiness really means in Christ. Just like when you are growing up, slowly you gain freedom to do things. You make mistakes, we know that. I made mistakes when I was young. But as we grow older, we have more freedom. And then I become more responsible for the decision that I made. And then through those experiences, I become more mature as an adult. Growing in Christ is the same thing. Freedom is essential because it will help us to be more responsible, not going wild. A lot of people are concerned about that, and they do not want us to go wild. But in the same time, we have to understand this is the concept that we need to grabs. Chapter 5. Today I have 2 points to share with you. Freedom from burdens. Chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You see, it's a very important announcement, proclamation. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But you have to read the last part of the verse 1. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. I'm reading from NLT, so it's a little bit different from your NIV. But the concept is the same. Stand firm. You already have freedom. And don't go back to become a slave again. There's a book called Taken on Trust. I think someone was taken by trusting some people. His name is Terry White. And he was chained to a radiator. You know those heat radiator? In the wintertime you use those. He was chained to a radiator for 1,763 days. Once a day, he was allowed to go to the bathroom. The rest of the time, he was chained to that radiator for almost 4 years. You can imagine, you know, when he was set free, do you think he would go back? The guy, you know, when he was walking by the building, he was leaving, and the guy, one of the captains, called upon him and say, would you like to come back? I give you a new radiator. I give you a new chair to sit on, or a new washroom, whatever. Whatever you want, we will give it to you. Do you want to come back to this room? What will you answer this question? You won't even talk to that guy. You just run. Nobody wants to go back to that situation. But unfortunately, we do that all the time. We do that all the time. We do either one of these. Either we are going back to religion or misuse the grace of God. We are just enjoyed so much liberty in Christ. And unfortunately, this is what we do. We always somehow go back to the old ways. For you, a lot of young people, you might understand. You might not understand what it means. Go back to the old ways because they're still developing different ways. But for older people, somehow we like to go back to old ways because it gives us a comfort, a security. Some people will go back to jail. You heard that. You heard those stories. They stay there for years. When they are released, they come out and they break the law again. And they will ask, why are you breaking the law? You know, you've been in the jail prison for so many years, and then you got out, then why are you breaking the laws again? Because I want to go back. I don't know how to live outside the prison. I don't know how to go back to a society. I just want to be in the prison that I'm familiar with, the lifestyle, the friends, so-called. But unfortunately, many Christians, we somehow doing the same thing in our lives. John 8, you recite this last week, last month, remember? You remember? Oh, no. The truth? If you know the truth, the truth will kick you out. The truth will set you free. Jesus said that. Not only so, he said that the truth will set you free. In verse 36, chapter 8 of John, he also says that the Son will set you free. If the Son set you free, you shall be free indeed. So what are the burdens that we are set free from? Well, there are two. Either what? Yoke of the law, the legalism, or liberty. This is a yoke for slave. I find it from the website. That's pretty scary to look at it. It's very heavy. It's made out of metal. You put it on your neck. Do you know why there was a hook at the end? Do you know why? So that you cannot run into the bush. You'll get caught by the trees or whatever, branches, so you cannot run away. And this is the yoke of slavery. And this is another one. Put it on your neck. That three hooks, I don't know what that is for. But if you look at it, you will say, oh, this is terrible. But this is what we do all the time, man. Brothers and sisters, we put ourselves into a slavery and going back to live under something, and we forget about the freedom in Christ Jesus. That is why, if you look at the whole book of Galatians, because people came in and tell them, you know, Jesus Christ was not enough, you have to circumcise, you have to be circumcised, you have to follow the law. That's why Paul was so energetic, tried to change this and try to correct them. And it's not the circumcision that is important, brothers and sisters, because if you look at it in chapter 5, you will see Paul says that circumcision, non-circumcision, actually is not the big deal. The big deal is the theology behind circumcision, the belief that comes with this action. If you do that, that means you express the idea that you prefer to follow some kind of outward behavior, some sets of rules and expectations, and then you think that will set you free, that will help you in your salvation. Somehow we try to add something to make sure we are saved. You remember the last few times I talked about this, Martin Luther told us that. What is the default mode of human heart? Remember? What is the default mode of our human heart? Wow. Maybe one time I will go back to Sunday school and try to do this 5 series again. Religion. Our default mode is religion. That means we love to do something in order to earn our salvation. This is a human nature. This is our self-centeredness. This is what sins show us. We need to be happy with ourselves. Self, you and I become the center of the universe. And religion will make us happy because it gives us a control what we can do. It sounds really reasonable if you do something to please everybody. You are growing up in church. How many times you are expected to do something? You do not like to do it. You did not want to do it, but you just have to do it. Because you don't want to offend people. You don't want to get people upset. You are expected to do something. And this mindset gives us a wrong concept because it will slowly go into our concept, our theology of salvation. We think I have to do something in order to be saved. Paul says that in these verses, circumcision, if you go for it, that means Christ's work on the cross means nothing to you and to me because Jesus Christ dying on the cross does not want us to believe his work is not completed. You still need your help. Good works, 10 commandments. Where do we find 10 commandments, brothers and sisters? I'll give you a hint. Exodus, chapter
20.
Well, she's right. You don't have to hide. Chapter 20. If you look at it, you will see at Mount Sinai, God gave them 10 commandments. Dr. Lee, I can't remember his first name. He's a president of a seminary in Hong Kong. He had a series. Stephen Lee. He has a series on 10 commandments. I think 5 talks, I think. Each talk was more than an hour long. It was really long. And I listened to 3 talks already. It was really long. And he said that in the first section. It's very important, brothers and sisters, listen to this carefully. This is important because when he said that, it really gave me some new insight about 10 commandments. He said that when God gave these 10 commandments to the nation of Israel, It was in the context of freedom. God already brought them out from Egypt. You remember the story, right? He brought them out in Egypt. They walked for a while, and then they went to Mount Sinai, at the foothill of Mount Sinai. So Moses went up for 40 days, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was given in the context that they were already set free. So Ten Commandments was not a bondage. It was not a burden. It was supposed to be used to be seen as you are free now. How do you keep yourself free? Do these Ten Commandments. If you think about it, it's just exactly right here, chapter 5, verse 1. Read chapter 5, verse 1 again. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. And stand firm. Do not go back to be a slave. Ten Commandments is the same thing. In the context of being free, they are already free. They were in a journey to the promised land. So it's like a journey, our life journey as Christians. God told us, you are already free. The purpose of the law is to make sure we are continue to be free from slavery. Every time we read Ten Commandments, we read it as what? Heavy burden on you and on me. The Ten Commandments involved into what? How many laws? If you have come to the revival meeting of the Chinese side a couple of weeks ago, how many laws? 613 laws in the Jewish community. In the context of freedom, God gave them the Ten Commandments. You have to understand that. It was not supposed to bind them. It was supposed to set them free and continue to be free. And do this, and God said, do this, and you will continue to be free. And you will continue to have this relationship with me. But unfortunately, the Jewish people look at it as a set of rules and that they have to do this in order to please God. And they miss slowly, just like you and I, slowly we forget the true meaning of freedom in Christ. We slowly believe that somehow we have to do something to keep our salvation secure. Slowly, the Jewish people look at it as a burden. And they forgot about how and when these Ten Commandments were given. So Jesus had to come. And he fulfilled the law because he lived under the law perfectly and fulfilled everything. Why do we go back? Well, look at the Egyptians. You know, in the journey to the promised land, they see difficulties. So they say, oh, maybe we should go back to Egypt. Egypt was better because the life was familiar, even though I was a slave, but the life was stable. I have food. I have a place to stay. Brothers and sisters, we do the same thing, unfortunately. After you become a Christian, you still go back. We still go back to live like as if we are not Christians. And this is not good. This is not good. We should not go back and live as if we are not a Christian. We are free from the requirements. Listen carefully again, brothers and sisters. We are free from the burden of sins. That is easier to understand. But if I tell you are free from the requirements of the law, regulations, expectations, sets of rules, you are free from the requirements of the law regarding your salvations. But it does not say that you are free to break the law. Do you see a difference? We are free from the requirements of the law. But we are not free to break the law. Go home and think about it. We are not free to break the law. That's why we still teach the Old Testament. That's why we still teach the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments is no longer a requirement for our salvations. A set of rules, expectations, no longer a requirement for your salvations. But we still are not free to break them. Some people say the cross, last time I used this, I said that these two arrows, just like the cross, you know, Jesus was on the middle of the cross and there are two crosses beside him. And some people use another illustrations, analogy, you know, it's like a bridge, it's a crossing. And there's a two rivers, well, it's not like Calgary, okay? So there's a two political streams, and you have a bridge that cross these two streams. One is what? Legalism. The other one is liberty, you know, do whatever you want. You cross that bridge, you have to be very careful because either you drop into this side or that side, and both sides will kill you. Brothers and sisters, I think a lot of us today, not today, may not be because today is Sunday, Monday to Saturday, which side you live on? Which side you live on? These two sides, these two eras. And it's so scary that we think it's a norm. It's normal that either I live on this side or that side and come back Sunday and I'm living out the gospel on Sunday. But Monday to Saturday, I choose either one to live on. Freedom from these burdens, from sin, from the law. The second point I want to share with you is a freedom in Christ, verses 5 and 6. Some people believe that verse 1, chapter 5, is the theme of the book of Galatians. You might not take it. It's okay. Some book say that it's chapter 2 somewhere. Some believe it's chapter 5, verse 1, because it's an important summary of what he said in the previous chapters. So in verses 5 to 6, and people describe 5 to 6, verses 5 and 6, is the essence, is the spirit of the gospel. Verse 5 and 6, I'm reading from NLT. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. If you read these two verses, there are three nouns that you will see: faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. In faith, we have hope for the future. Brothers and sisters, it's very important. Everyone needs hope. And in faith, by faith, we have hope for the future. The perfection that we are longing for someday will come, but not this life, but there's hope. When we have faith, there's hope for the future. It's very important, verse 5. And verse 6, today, the remaining time, I just want to focus on verse 6. Verse 6 is also very, very important for our church, for you, for what we believe. Oh. Our banners are gone for a month, and you will come back. Verse 6. Can we spend a little bit of time on verse 6? Can you look at verse 6? For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, first of all, it's in Christ Jesus, not in legalism, not in a set of rules or a set of expectations. In Christ Jesus. Our faith is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter about circumcision or uncircumcisions. The actions, the things that will try to please us or to make sure we are safe, secure in Christ Jesus, all those things itself are not important. Themselves are not important. And what Paul says, what is important is faith expressing itself in love. A lot of us, I hope all of us, believe in Jesus Christ. But faith itself, you cannot see it. Can you see faith? Can you show me you have faith? You come up to me, Pastor Stan, I have a lot of faith. Look at me. I have a lot of faith. And I look at you. Where's the faith that you're talking about? Faith itself cannot be seen. It has to be expressed. We heard many stories, analogies, illustrations. You sit down in this pill, you sit down without checking the pills. You heard those, you know. You go into the car, you start a car, you just drive. You don't need to know how it works. It's faith. You heard those before. Faith has to be expressed in action. And what Paul is talking to us about the gospel, at the end he says that the gospel gives us hope for the future. But the gospel also gives us a mandate to express in love. So faith is not something that is so abstract. It's an intellectual. You can go to Sunday school. You can study, you know, what faith is all about. But faith has to be what? Expressed in action. Not only action, but in love. That means we have to be doing something at the end of the gospel. Not the front part. You know that. Justification by faith, not by works. So for five sermons, I keep trying to tell you your salvation has nothing to do with good works, but good works comes after. You see verse 6 here. Paul is trying to sum up this gospel, and he tells us that there's a hope in the future. It's about our gospel, but at the same time, the gospel has something to do with actions in this life, something to do that you need to express in love, serving others. If you continue to read chapter 5 and chapter 6, you will see the freedom in Christ give us what? Ability and opportunity to serve others, verses 13 to 15. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in what? Love. Paul is trying to unpack this practical side of the gospel. Now he developed the gospel. He tried to turn away those heresies. And then he tells us that gospel is give us a freedom. But freedom is to serve others. Freedom is not to serve ourselves. If you continue to read chapter 5 up to verse 22, you will see that Paul is telling us that we have this freedom not to enjoy lust that we have in our hearts. But turn around. We are free, actually, from the power of sin in our lives. We do not need to follow our impulse, our drive to sin. And we have this freedom now. But do you use it? Do I use it? Well, it comes to the second part, the third part. Freedom to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read chapter 5, you will see the Holy Spirit will come and give us the power to live a victorious life. Freedom to allow Holy Spirit to come. A lot of time when we talk about freedom in Christ, it's very abstract. I know that. I've been thinking about this topic for years, I told you. I can tell you freedom means you are free from sins, you are free from burdens of the law. But then what? And then what? Okay, you are free from sin, you are free from the law, and then what am I supposed to do with my freedom? Right? Freedom to serve others. Freedom to stay away from sins. Freedom to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And freedom to see the fruit of the Spirit comes into our hearts and grow. You do not have those. Trust me. Before you became a Christian, the Bible described accurately in saying that we were slave to sin. We were slave to set of rules. Conclusion, Jesus said that the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son shall set you free and you shall be free indeed. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? Are you still living in fear, guilt, insecurity? Sometimes even, am I a Christian? You know, a lot of people wonder. I have done those parts many years ago. You know, I accept Christ when I was 6 years old. You know, I go to church, I go to Sunday school, you know, I do all these things. Well, in your own room, in a quiet moment, have you ever wondered, does it mean that I'm a Christian now? Am I still a Christian? Yes, you are. Do you have faith to believe that? Do you have hope for the future, like verse 5 says? And do you have faith to be expressed in love, caring for others, not just yourself? The boundary that we have, just like I said, when you come into the building, there's a four walls. You are free to do anything within these four walls. And we are free to do anything in Christ Jesus with the Word of God guiding us. So don't use that freedom to sin, because Romans chapter 6 verse 1 already tells us, the end of chapter 5 too. There's a lot of grace, doesn't mean that we can sin more. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, brothers and sisters. This is very important, what Paul is saying. We are already free, just like the nation of Israelites. They were free, they were in the Mount Sinai. They were free, even though they were not used to their lifestyle. You know, they were still thinking about Egypt. They are heading to the promised land that which they have not seen. But there's a hope for the future. And they were free. It might take a while for you to get used to it. Just like many, many, many years ago, it took them a while to get used to this freedom. But they were free. And God wants us to stand firm in that freedom in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for Jesus dying on the cross. Because what he has done, not only we have salvation, our sins have been forgiven, condemnation is removed. Lord, we thank you. We are grateful. But at the same time, you remind us that this life journey has not ended yet. We are still in the journey to the promised land. Just like verse 5 telling us that by faith, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we know that the future will be coming. We will be perfect, even though not in this lifetime, but the righteousness of God will come. Verse 6 tells us that while we are here in this life, by faith, we need to express this love and this faith to people around us. Lord, we thank you for this freedom in Christ. Without him, there's no true freedom. With him, we have true freedom to please you, to have Holy Spirit come and dwell within our hearts, and give us power to live a life that will please you. Just like Paul said, we need to stand firm with this freedom so that we will not go back to be a slave. Set us free, Lord. A lot of us are still burdened by guilt, mistakes that we made, problems that we have not solved. We feel miserable and no hope for the future. Lord, we thank you for the Bible to remind us again, it's not true. There's a hope, and there's love because you love us first. We thank you. Once again, we thank you for Jesus. Today, we're going to remember what he has done on the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.